It's from the kettle, Sheila.
Oh, you know, tea's made. You don't have to get out of bed.
Yeah, fine. Okay, I'll get the appeal. Sheila, thank you very much indeed. Hello, good afternoon. At 4 o'clock.
If I see someone with a knife, I'm going to want one to protect myself. And then the next person, and the next person.
A shocking LBC investigation finds that children as young as 9 are carrying knives. Why? Because they fear that they will be murdered if they don't. We've revealed today that the number of children caught with a blade at school is up by 60% in the last year alone. It means, on average, 12 knives are being discovered in schools in this country every single day. In other words, we are increasingly becoming a country where young children walk around with deadly weapons. What is responsible for that? Or more to the point, who do you think is to blame? Call me, 0345 6060 973.
On your radio, on the LBC app, and
play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation, this is LBC.
From Global's newsroom at 4 o'clock, a 9-year-old was the youngest person injured during a crash at Liverpool's Premier League title parade on Monday. Detectives have been releasing more details about the 79 people caught up in the collision. LBC's Liam Gotting has been reading a statement from Merseyside Police.
The 53-year-old man they arrested at the scene is still in police custody. One of the things he's being questioned over is drug driving, but Merseyside Police declined to say what drug the 53-year-old man is alleged to have taken, saying that they wouldn't go into that level of detail at this stage of the investigation. Now, of course, yesterday, Merseyside Police were given more time to question the man that they arrested. They have until tonight to question him, so we are expecting an update at some point today.
Figures seen by LBC reveal an average of 12 children a day are being caught with knives at school across the UK. There were 2,300 cases during the last full school year, up by almost two-thirds over a period of 2 years. School children believe the rise is being driven in part by social media. The UK government has condemned the creation of 22 new Israeli settlements in the occupied West Bank, which the UN says are unlawful. Foreign Office Minister Hamish Faulkner says it represents a deliberate obstacle to Palestinian statehood. Israel says it would be endangered by the recognition of a Palestinian state. Reform UK says Labour are panicking after a speech where the Prime Minister called its spending plans fantasy economics. It comes after Nigel Farage promised earlier this week that he'd cut taxes and scrap welfare caps if he wins a general election. And the Shadow Justice Secretary has admitted to LBC he broke Transport for London rules to make footage highlighting fare dodging. Robert Jenrick didn't seek permission to film on TfL property to confront rule breakers. He's told Ben it's ridiculous to suggest he should have.
You honestly saying that the blame should be attached to me for calling out rule breaking rather than the people who are actually breaking the law?
I'm simply asking whether you yourself followed the rules that TfL makes clear about.
Well, I didn't seek permission, because that would have rather undermined what we were trying to do, which was to do...
You broke the rules to make a video about rule-breaking, Mr. Jenrick.
Look, I think what you're asking is completely ridiculous.
TfL says it's strengthening its capability to deter and detect fare evaders, calling it unacceptable. You can hear the full interview with Ben Kentish on LBC next. In the city, a short time ago, the FTSE 100 was trading down 8 points at 87.17. The pound buys $1.34 and €1.18. LBC weather, patchy rain in central Scotland, North England and Wales tonight, mostly dry elsewhere and breezy in the south, a low of 4. Patchy rain lingering in northern Wales and central in the North England. A few showers developing in south and east Scotland and Northern Ireland, mainly dry and partly cloudy elsewhere tomorrow, highs of 24 degrees. From Global's newsroom for LBC, I'm Amelia Cox.
This is LBC from Global, leading Britain's conversation with Ben Kentish.
Just gone for a very, very good afternoon indeed. Ben Kentish in for Tom Swarbrick here on LBC this afternoon. Great to have your company on the show.
I always say tariffs is the most beautiful word to me in the dictionary.
US courts deal another blow to Donald Trump, this time a panel of judges ruling that the US president exceeded his authority in introducing massive tariffs on goods entering the US. The White House, though, says it's not for judges to tell the president what to do. Isn't that exactly their role in a functioning democracy? And is Donald Trump becoming the first ever US dictator? We'll discuss and...
Do you want to go back and pay, like everybody else? Do you think it's all right not to pay? Why don't you go back and pay? You can say off as much as you want, but everyone else has to pay.
Robert Jenrick goes on a one-man vigilante crusade against London's fare dodgers today as he claims that law-breaking in Britain is out of control, but accusations of hypocrisy after it turns out that he himself may have broken Transport for London rules. We'll talk to the Shadow Justice Secretary a little later.
Call and WhatsApp message now, 0345 6060 973. Text 84850. Ben Kentish on LBC.
But first this afternoon, kill or be killed. The chilling words of a boy, aged just 9 years old, speaking to LBC today as part of an investigation that we've conducted into Britain's knife crime crisis. And what we've uncovered, you'll hear more about it in a moment, is truly disturbing. A generation where, in some areas, carrying a knife has become not just normalised, but actively glamorised. Where the size of your blade or the damage that it can do are status symbols, just like having a new phone or the latest pair of trainers. A country in which children, too many children, are consuming countless hours of extreme violence via their phones and their tablets, and then deciding that they too want to be a part of that violence. Where teenagers now check their pockets before they leave the house and think, right, phone, keys, wallet, knife. We've revealed today that the number of youngsters being caught with a knife at school is up by 60% in the last 2 years alone. On average, that means 12 blades are being found on school premises every single day of the year. And it's worth just pausing, isn't it? And asking, I think, collectively, how on earth did we get here? And who's to blame? Who is to blame for the fact that we are apparently raising a generation of children, far, far too many of whom are walking around right now as they leave school this afternoon with a knife in their pocket or a knife in their bag? Is it all the fault of the social media companies who are pumping out this violent content to an entire generation of children? Is it the parents who aren't monitoring enough what their kids are doing on their phones, aren't even aware of what their children are up to enough to stop them buying knives online? Is it a wider problem? Is it a failure of schools and teachers and police officers, of all of us maybe, to make these children feel that they are safe enough that they don't need to illegally arm themselves just in order to stay alive? How have we become a country where nine-year-olds say things like it's kill or be killed? Where thousands are walking around, including at schools, with lethal blades on their bodies? And who do you think, or what do you think, is most to blame for that crisis? 0345 6060 973, the number to call, as always, this afternoon. Who do you hold most responsible? And following on from that, I suppose, who bears the main responsibility for sorting this absolute epidemic of knife crime out? Give me a call on that number. You can WhatsApp the main number too, if you like, this afternoon. Text me on 84850 or say, Alexa, send a message to LBC. That investigation, exclusive LBC investigation into Britain's knife crime epidemic, conducted by our very own crime correspondent, Andy Hughes. In a moment, we'll talk to a criminal barrister more about this. But first, Andy, just tell us a little bit more, if you would, sir, about what you've uncovered.
Yeah, so this all came about because every police officer I was speaking to who investigates gang crime and knife crime, they're all saying the same thing, that the most worrying thing about this is that the kids who are carrying knives are getting younger and younger, and what's worse, they're not afraid to use them. So we conducted this extensive research and we asked councils and schools across the UK to give us all their data. And what we found is a 60% rise in the last 2 years, that's average of 12 knives found in school every single day. But the most shocking case by far was a nine-year-old who brought a knife into his own primary school. So I managed to track down the youth worker who's been helping this young boy, and I asked him to tell me about the case, and what he said was truly shocking. Listen to this.
He said to me that he'd carry a knife to protect himself, because in his mind it was kill or be killed mentality.
He's 9 years old, though.
I know, but he's in his mind, it's like, they can't get to my brother, they get to me, but I'm not allowing them to kill me. So if I've got a knife, I've got a chance of killing them first. And
so he was willing to use the knife?
Oh, yeah, 100%, to protect himself.
So after that, what I wanted to do was speak to a young person who's actually carried a knife. I wanted to hear from the horse's mouth why they chose to do what they do. So I spoke to an 18-year-old. He's now left gang life, as he calls it, and he's left it because three of his friends have been murdered in the last year. Two have been stabbed to death. One has been shot to death. He joined a gang when he was just 10. So have a listen to this.
This kid, he must have banged like a knife in, but it wasn't like no like normal knife. It was like one of them big,
well, like zombie
like
knife.
One of them, nah, not machete. A machete, like the red.
Brought
the red
machete in the school.
Yeah, like the red machetes. Cars pulled up outside the school and that, and like started ramming the gates and that with their cars.
Why do you think there's this culture now of kids just thinking it's normal to carry a knife?
They've seen social media and they think it's normal.
I'll just pick up on that last point you made there, that these kids think it's normal. And that's because there's a constant stream of violence being put out on two platforms in particular, Snapchat and TikTok. So I visited a school in East London. Now, this isn't just any school. This is a secure unit for kids with severe behavioural problems. And I asked the head teacher what he thought the root of the problem was.
I've worked with young people that have been stabbed and murdered with knives. I've worked with young people that are in prison that have killed other young people. Kids are becoming desensitized to things that we would once upon a time be completely shocked and blown away by. There's also lots of young people that do not necessarily want to commit violence, and they're not thinking, I'm going to carry a knife because I want to stab someone and hurt someone. But because of all the stuff they're seeing on social media, they're scared.
Yeah, he says they're scared, and not only are they scared, we're being told that the kids now see these knives as an accessory. It's about image as well. I asked one guy who mentors young gang members, and he said that if he handed a young kid in a gang a kitchen knife, he wouldn't want to carry it because it's not cool enough. What he wants is a machete or a zombie knife, because that's what he is seeing on TikTok and Snapchat.
It's become a status symbol. It's truly, truly frightening. Andy, thank you very much indeed for a very, very disturbing and eye-opening investigation. Andy Hughes is LBC's crime correspondent. Let's talk about all of this afternoon with Stephen Akinsanya, criminal barrister with 15 NBS chambers, chief executive of Life of Focus, who has written an article for the LBC app, worth checking that out, titled From the Courtroom, I See How Young Children Are Being Pulled Into Knife Crime. Stephen, a very good afternoon to you. How are they being pulled into knife crime?
Well, it's a combination of things. As your previous speaker has said, it's a fashion thing through social media. There's also young people who are being groomed by gangs to carry weapons as part of the criminal culture. And then also those who are scared that if they're not carrying a knife, they're the odd one out and possibly susceptible to being stabbed.
The status thing I find particularly frightening, Stephen. You know, when I was at school, everyone wanted the latest trainers. We wanted the new football boots. We wanted the new phone, whatever it was. Game Boy, that's showing my age a bit. Kids today, or too many of them at least, want the latest knife or the most lethal one. How have we got to that point?
Social media. You can go onto TikTok, you can go on Snapchat, and you will see the endless videos of people running around with these large, horrific knives, singing about what they're going to potentially use them for, what they have used them for. And youngsters are impressionable, and they think that this is a status symbol and not too dissimilar from wanting the latest pair of trainers. You've got youngsters who want zombie knives to carry them as a status symbol, as a fashion accessory.
We've glamorized violence. We've glamorized killing.
Yeah, we have. And for a nine-year-old to say, kill or be killed, well, where's that come from? You don't read that in a normal children's book. So that's come from somewhere. That could only have come from social media, what they've heard or what they've read on social media.
Who do you blame, Stephen, for that?
I blame the social media companies for allowing young kids to have access to this. We've become desensitized to violence. I also blame, not so much blame the parents, but We need to have more vested interest in what our young people are up to. Mm. I know there are a lot of pressures on people in society, but we've got to take the time, because if we don't take the time, we're not really keeping track with what the young people are doing, what they're leaving the house with. And once they leave the house, anything can happen.
And the second sort of group of people that you talked about, the kids that are carrying knives, not just because it's cool, but because they are genuinely scared about what will happen to them if they don't. How have we got to a point where 9, 10, 11, 12-year-old children don't feel that their parents, their teachers, the other adults in their lives, the police even, are capable of protecting them, so they have to fend for themselves at that tender young age?
It's the whole culture of not being wanting to be seen to be a snitch, and so you'll take care of things on your own, so you won't tell a parent or a trusted adult that you've got a problem with someone or you're being intimidated by someone. The area where you grow up and people are carrying knives, and you just figure, look, I'm going to carry a knife. I haven't even thought about whether I would use it or not, or the ramifications for using it. But if I've got a knife, then I think in my head that I'm going to be safe.
It's terrifying. Stephen, thank you for talking to us this afternoon. Stephen Akinsanya, criminal barrister with 15 NBS Chambers, chief executive of Life of Focus. Worth checking out Stephen's article on the brand new LBC app. It's headlined "From the Courtroom, I See How Young Children Are Being Pulled Into Knife Crime." What are we going to do about this? What are we as a country going to do about 9-year-olds carrying knives, because their mentality is, you just heard it, if I don't kill someone, then they will kill me? 0345 6060973. And the starting point for that question seems to me is, who or what is most responsible and to blame for the mess that we now find ourselves in? Keep your calls coming in on that number. Come to them right after this. Ben Kentish here on LBC. It's 4:15.
LBC Travel, I'm Dave Chawner. Starting on the M25, moving clockwise, there are long delays at Junction 14. That's the turn-off for Heathrow. It's all because of an earlier broken down car. And on the anti-clockwise stretch of the M25, there are delays heading into the Dartford tunnels, adding roughly 35 minutes onto your journey. Nearby in Greenwich on the Blackwall Tunnel approach, there's queues northbound at the Woolwich Road flyover. That's because of an earlier broken down lorry. While in East London, there are queues on the A13 eastbound between Prince Regent Lane and the Lodge Avenue flyover. Finally, on public transport, there are severe delays on the Elizabeth line between London Paddington and Reading, and that's due to a track fault.
This is LBC.
Club card accepted.
Feel the power to lower prices with Tesco Club Card. Get a 10-pack of McVitie's Jaffa Cake Original, now £1, down from £1.50. Celebrating 30 years of rewards with Tesco Club Card. Tesco, every little helps. Majority of larger stores, Jaffa Cakes ends 24th of June. Club Card are app required.
Call Ben Kentish, 0345 6060973, LBC.
You know, people ask me, what's my good place? It's in the garden, playing football with my girls. It's also knowing that because my pension is with PensionBee, I get a beekeeper, a UK-based account manager for support should I need it.
You're not very good, Daddy.
At PensionBee, we believe that when your pension is in a good place, you're in a good place. Download the app or go to pensionbee.com and be pension confident. When investing, your capital is at risk.
A Thameslink train is a place where family moments become more peaceful. Where you can spread out and a game of I Spy gets a scenic upgrade with snacks, stories and the occasional sheep for a bonus point. Less stress, more yes, with kids' tickets for £2 at thameslinkrailway.com. Terms apply.
Octopus Energy. Great value and outstanding customer service. Recommended by Which? 8 years running. Octopus Energy.
Getting ready for summer? It's time to scrub the barbecue, mow the lawn and dust off the wine glasses. At Waitrose, we're getting ready with 25% off six or more bottles of wine or fizz over £6. Like a fruity San Leo Prosecco, perfect with aged Parma ham. Or a crisp Whispering Angel Rosé, ideal for your first barbecue. And our number one Chablis. The aromas of fresh peach pair beautifully with a seafood salad. Start the summer with some great savings at Waitrose. Selected stores and lines, subject to availability. Excludes Scotland, boxed wines and bottles priced £100 and over.
Leading Britain's conversation, this is LBC with Ben Kentish.
4:18 goes without saying, I hope, but I'll say it anyway. If you've got any expertise or insight into this sort of epidemic of knife crime and knife carrying amongst young people, young boys in particular, if you're a teacher, if you're a youth worker, if you perhaps yourself once carried a knife, or you were in a gang, or you know somebody who did, what is it that is causing that? What is it that is prompting them to pick up and buy those weapons in the first place? And what can we do to stop it? Is there anything we can do? Have we lost this battle? I mean, we have to try and do something. But what is it that we do? What needs to change? 0345 606 0973. Danny's calling from Camden this afternoon to kick us off. Danny, afternoon to you. Hi.
Good afternoon, Ben. Where do I start? I've got an 8-year-old who told me he wants to stay indoors when he gets older because of all the killing.
At 8 years old?
I said to him, eight. Why do you want to stay indoors and not come out? He said, because of all the killing, Daddy. I didn't know what to say. I mean, I said, well, you know, I said, killings happen all over the world. I didn't really know the answer to give him, you know, what to say, to be honest.
Danny, what had prompted the question? What has he seen that made him come out with that statement at the age of just 8 years old?
Exactly. I mean, the mum said to me, oh, he said he doesn't want to go out. He wants to stay indoors. He's scared to go out because of all the killing. So, I mean, one of your questions was, what do we do about all this? First of all, I mean, I'm not an expert, but I would think the sentences should be longer. When you get caught carrying a knife, it's 10 years. 10 years of your life goes. We've got to be more strict. The police have to have more power as well. Give the police more power.
To do what, Danny?
To stop and search. Stop and search these kids on the street when they should be at school or after school. You see them in a big group. The police have to be given more power. Sentences have to be longer.
These are kids we're talking about. Are 9-year-old kids fearing prison sentences? What they're fearing is that someone else is going to come along and murder them. That's why they're carrying the weapons. So they're going to take their chances if they've somehow got it into their minds that if they don't, they won't just end up in a cell, they will end up dead.
I really don't know what the answer is.
Let's go back a moment to what on earth it is that has convinced your little 8-year-old boy that the streets are full of killing. Where do you think he's got that impression from?
What he sees on the news, other kids. I mean, a couple of years ago, there was a young kid got killed just near Highgate there. My little boy knew about this. Obviously, right. He listens to what people say. He's eight. So he's not stupid. He listens. Sure. They take it all in like a sponge. You know, go to bed, you know, having bad dreams and all these thoughts.
Is he on social media, Danny?
No, he's not.
So it's not coming, in his case at least, it's not coming from that?
No, he's always playing games. He plays games, brick box or whatever they call it. You know, I always monitor what he watches. And most of the time, it's always games where they're creating something or, drawing something. He never watches social media because as soon as I hear that on the internet, I'll say, what are you watching?
Danny, I mean, again, you've got 9-year-olds saying kill or be killed. That's their approach to life. You've got 8-year-olds saying, I don't want to go out, Daddy. The streets are full of killing. What on earth has gone wrong in this country and what are we going to do about it? Thank you, Danny, for kicking us off this afternoon. Sarah's a new caller in Wimbledon. Hi, Sarah.
Hi, Ben. Thanks for taking my call.
Good to have you on.
Hi, I just wanted to talk about my 16-year-old who was having issues from about the age of 13, I would say, and started hanging out with a boy that was 2 years older than him. Him and some other boys that were the same age as my son. This older child seemed very consumed with gang crime, knife carrying knives and things like that. So he had a big influence on my son and his friends. And yeah, we've had a difficult few years because of that.
What happened, Sarah?
The short story is that my son did get arrested 2 years ago. This wasn't for knife crime. This was for assaulting another boy. So it has been quite mortifying for us. But the point I want to get across is, like, yes, I do think that social media certainly has a part to play. It is very difficult as a parent to kind of monitor all the time. We've sort of used different strategies with my son in terms of taking his phone off of him. It's led to massive battles. you know, my mum will always say, oh, just don't let him have a phone. But it's not as simple as that, because, you know, that this is their way of socialising nowadays with phones. But, yeah, also, you know, I also want to put the point across that there are parents that are trying their utmost to do everything for their child. We're not just sitting back letting it happen. You know, I've put boundaries in place, me and my husband, but it's been very, very difficult.
So when people say, and I, Sarah, I'll be honest with you, part of me sometimes thinks this, if your child is going to school with a knife, then something has gone wrong in the home and with the parenting. You would say, well, there's a lot of parents out there doing their best, but just what at the end of their tether as to what they can actually do.
Yeah, so yeah. With my son, he was found with a knife on him.
Was he?
I don't know. Yeah, I wasn't told until a later date. So I've had social services involved. I wanted to accept all the intervention that was available. So, you know, it was embarrassing to have to admit the intervention of social services. But then I thought we got to the stage where we needed it.
Yeah.
As far as my son and knives are concerned, he was found in a park. It was outside the school. And he had, I think they said it was a 7-inch blade on him. But I would say with my son, it was all about the status. As, you know, another caller said earlier, it wasn't about him feeling he needed to protect himself. So I will be honest on that.
It was the glamour. It was the allure of weaponry.
Yeah, it was, yeah.
And you had no indication, no sign at all that your son was walking around the streets with a knife?
No. Wow. But then on later occasions, yes. I noticed at least one knife or some knives going missing.
Right. From your kitchen drawers?
Yeah.
And then you confront him about it, or what happens then?
Yes, yeah, we had the talks with him. And, you know, my husband works with young offenders, and right. He said that, you know, statistics will show that often children who carry knives on them end up being stabbed with the knife that they're carrying.
Very scary.
And it breaks my heart to hear about these other children. You know, the parents coming on talking about how their children feel that they need to carry a knife on them to keep themselves safe. I just think it is so sad.
I find it really disturbing, and I find it scary that that's where we've got to, Sarah. How are things with your 16-year-old now?
I mean, he's not getting involved in any of the
good
stuff, you know.
That's good.
Nothing to do with knives or anything. He went through a period of time where this older kid was getting them all to sort of, you know, steal from shops and things. And he was disappearing out at night, going off into London. You know, we just spent so many evenings where we'd be on a WhatsApp group with all the other parents saying, oh, do you know where our boys are? And we worried all the time. I can't tell you the amount of stress that it caused us. But I want to get that point across, that we weren't just sitting back letting it happen. It wasn't that we weren't doing anything. We really wanted to be proactive. So we would, you know, ask these parents to come around for meetings and try and, you know, get to the bottom of it. We were even in touch with the parents of the older child that I said was consumed with knives and gang crime and all the rest of it. I think this boy thought that, you know, it was about the power. I heard talks that he had a machete knife and that, you know, the police had to raid his home. The older boy. Yeah.
And it's hard for parents, because obviously you want to be a good influence on your children. And clearly, Sarah, you and your husband are trying to be. But the influence that other young people can have can be just as big, if not greater. And it sounds like that's what's happened in that case. I'm glad things are looking a bit more positive for your family, Sarah. Very, very tough. Very tough indeed to go through that as a mum. Thank you for calling in and talking to me about it. Faizam's calling from West Ham this afternoon. Afternoon to you, Faizam.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Yep, loud and clear. Fire away, please.
I wanted to talk about how you had a previous speaker who blamed it on social media. Is that correct? Sorry.
Yes. Our guest was saying social media is a big part of this. Yes, for sure. It is, though, isn't it?
Pardon?
It is. I mean, I think social media is right at the heart of this.
I mean, okay, I genuinely hate when people blame this on social media. Social media is a platform. It cannot create issues. It only amplifies. It can amplify. And at best, it just mirrors what the broken world looks like. Social media is where young people express themselves, find identity, and form community. If you blame it, it makes many young people use it to escape real life conditions. And it's a cry for help. But when we say, oh, social media is causing all of this terrible knife crime, I mean, the medium is the message. The question isn't what's being posted, but why the message of violence is so common in the first place.
It isn't the answer because young people are impressionable. If they are watching endless stuff that is A, making them think that everybody else is carrying a knife, then they think that they need to do the same. B, if they're watching all these videos that glorifies and glamorizes carrying knives and maybe even using knives, then they will start to feel that it is a sign of status and prestige.
Okay, I understand where you're coming from, but you have to look at it on a big picture. Social media, yes, okay, I admit, it can glorify knife crime. It can
persuade
people.
Anything that glorifies knife crime is a massive issue, isn't it, Faizan? I think it is.
Yes, but are you saying that social media is causing knife crime?
I'm saying that the stuff that kids are watching on social media, that these companies, by the way, are doing woefully little, from what I see, to stop, is a major part of where we find ourselves now. Yes, absolutely.
Okay, couldn't you then argue that, okay, if, hypothetically speaking, we were living in a perfect utopia, everyone had perfect housing, the teachers, we have incredible housing system, there was, in a hypothetical situation, everyone is happy. And then we have a social media. And that social media is then spewing knife crime. Would you think that there would be as much knife crime as we have today?
No. And you are, of course, you're absolutely right to say it's not the only issue here. And you are completely right to talk about the context in which those children are watching those videos. Poverty, alienation, teachers who don't have the time to give kids the attention that they need, breakdown of community, parents working long hours, all the stuff that you're touching on, really, really important. And no one's saying that's not an issue. But if kids are routinely being exposed to extreme violence on their phones, and they are starting to think that that is not just frightening, but actually cool and glamorous, that's a big part of the issue, isn't it? That is a problem as well.
Okay. Can we create some common ground? Can we agree that social media cannot create issues out of nothing?
No, I wouldn't agree with that. I think you've seen all sorts of conspiracy theories take hold and proliferate massively, all sorts of disinformation and indeed violence on social media. So I wouldn't agree with you on that, but I completely take your point. And I think it's a really good one that social media alone is not the problem. It's the context in which those videos are being consumed. Thank you, Faizan. Lots of your calls coming on this. More on those to come in just a moment. Ben Kentish in for Thomas Warwick here on LBC. Also coming up,
the world is not short of crises right now, and if you've ever wondered what goes on behind the scenes to keep us all safe, then this is the podcast for you.
Global Launch is the Crisis Room podcast, bringing together first-hand experience from the front lines of government, intelligence and international affairs. One of its stars, journalist Mark Urban, joins me after the news headlines with Amelia Cox.
Merseyside police have revealed the youngest person injured during a crash at the Liverpool Premier League title parade was 9 years old. A 53-year-old man is still being questioned on suspicion of attempted murder and drug driving. US markets have opened up after a federal court blocked Donald Trump's tariffs in a major blow to his economic policies. The White House says it's preparing to appeal. And the Shadow Justice Secretary has defended breaking Transport for London rules by filming on the tube without permission to highlight fare dodging. Robert Jenrick has told LBC the city's mayor Sadiq Khan and TfL should be taking the issue more seriously. LBC weather, patchy rain in central Scotland, North England and Wales tonight. Mostly dry elsewhere and breezy in the south, a low of 4 degrees.
LBC, this morning, on Nick Ferrari at breakfast.
Here's the tale of the tape. In the blue corner, you have a fairly burly 51-year-old police officer, Stephen Smith, who has a pepper spray and extendable nightstick. With him is the 36-year-old police officer, Rachel Camato, who has a taser. Both of them have stab vests. In the other, you have a 92-year-old man in a wheelchair with one leg and a 4-inch butter knife. I warn you, this is distressing.
Donald, put it down! Taser, taser!
This is a day of utter shame for the police. The fact that they were cleared at Southwark Crown Court I find truly extraordinary, but they will now face disciplinary proceedings. It can only hope that they're both booted out.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Back tomorrow morning from 7. Listen on your radio, on Global Player and the new LBC app.
Big, big, big motoring world.
Wow, wow,
wow motoring world.
Yes, that's right. Big Motoring World is also Wow Motoring World because we price check our cars every day to guarantee you our best price, with up to 95% of them below market value. Big Motoring World. We're big on what matters to you. See website for nearest store. Visit bigmotoringworld.co.uk or one of our stores for our price promise and terms and conditions.
I'm making a robot head with an Amazon box. I've painted it silver and Daddy helped me make it.
At Amazon, we're actually using paper bags for more of our deliveries.
And now I'm making a paper hot air balloon. And I even made a little brown basket. And I'm making a dog that looks just like Monty.
Just one of the ways we've reduced the weight of our packaging by more than 40% since 2015. Which is still good for playtime.
Mum, where's the scissors?
To learn more, visit aboutamazon.co.uk/sustainability.
How do you grow a perfectly sweet strawberry? Well, it takes more than just soil and water, but time, care, and the best conditions to flourish. At Tesco, we keep every strawberry warm during the day and cold during the night to ensure they develop the sweetest flavour.
Mm.
It may seem like a little thing, but to us, it's everything. Now, if you don't mind, the strawberries are sleeping. Tesco. Every little helps.
When you sail on a Saga cruise, you really can relax because so much is included. A choice of speciality restaurants, included. A balcony with every cabin, included. Wonderfully attentive staff, included. Spotting a whale out at sea, included. Realizing the whale is actually just a wave, included. Search Saga Boutique Cruises 2026 season on sale now. Experience is everything. T's and C's apply, over 50s only.
This is LBC with Ben Kentish. Call 0345 6060973.
4:36 the time. Carry on our conversation about knife crime in just a moment. Wonder what you make of this from Andy on text. Ben, it's so simple. Flood the streets with stop and search officers. Take the knives off them. If you're found twice, you are tagged and not allowed out of your house other than to go to school. We have to sort... It's nonsense to say we cannot sort the problem. We just need to have very tough penalties. I'm not against tough penalties, Andy. I'm dubious, if I'm honest with you, that that is going to solve these problems. I don't think these kids are thinking clearly enough. I mean, they're 9 years old, some of them, for goodness sake, about the consequences for prison sentences and all the rest of it to play a big part in this. We've got to stop the glorification. We've sort of got to stop the glamorisation. And we've got to stop them being able to get their hands on these weapons as easily as they are, don't we? 0345 6060 973. Just before we talk more about that, let's talk more about this. Global has today launched the Crisis Room podcast. One of the presenters, Mark Urban, delighted to say, joins me in the studio. Mark is a co-presenter of the Crisis Room, which is available through the LBC app. What do people need to know, Mark? Welcome.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me on, Ben. Well, I think what people need to know is that this is a sort of team of people who've been practitioners at a kind of high level in the business of international affairs, crises, war, diplomacy, spying, all that kind of stuff, who are going to be decoding every week our turbulent world and the kind of things that are going on. So you've got me, having covered all these kind of things for the last 35 years, all those experiences and all the kind of behind-the-scenes stuff that maybe one couldn't talk about at the time and how that plays into current events. Then you've got Amber Rudd, who was obviously a big political hitter, Home Secretary, somebody who was in charge of the security apparatus when the Salisbury nerve agent attack happened, or the Manchester bombing, Manchester Arena bombing. So she's there to give her expertise about the politics of how these situations are handled. And then we've got someone called Mark Polymeropoulos, who will not be familiar to English listeners, but he was a senior officer in the CIA, so the kind of guy who would have run counter-terrorist operations worldwide at a certain time. He had a lot of experience in Syria, but he's also had a lot of experience on Russia. Mm. So he adds the insights from a life in the secret world and the kind of stuff that's going on behind the scenes at any given moment. And that's what we're doing. And in the first episode, we're unpacking, is Putin now going to use the military option? Has he basically given up on this whole process of trying to talk peace? And what can the West do about it if that's the case? And we're also going to talk about what happened in Liverpool. Amber with her Home Secretary's head and Mark with his former counter-terrorist chief's head about, the policy of going straight in and saying who's done it, not by name, of course, but what sort of person had driven their car into the crowd, and whether that's a good way of fighting disinformation and the other stuff that's around.
And it's fascinating that there's different branches of sort of the state, different branches of authority, really, how closely they work together, or whether when some of these events happen, they actually end up working against each other in a way that might actually cause problems.
Well, yes. And for example, there's always lawyers, aren't there? In a lot of these situations, governments or the military or so, something happens, they'd like to be more open, but the lawyer leans in and says, "Oh, I'm not sure I'd say that if I were you." Look, lawyers are just one of the complex considerations when you're really trying to deal with a crisis. Of course, there's all sorts of others. That's what we're doing anyway. And we will, there'll also be other people coming on, if we need a general or if we need a, we've got a great set of networks between us of people we can bring on.
Oh, sounds fantastic. I'm really looking forward to listening in. Talking of crises, Mark, let me ask you about one of the biggest ones facing the world right now, the situation in the Middle East. Hamas confirming in the last hour or so that it has received a new proposal for a ceasefire in Gaza from the US administration and Donald Trump's envoy, Stephen Witkoff. What do we know about what that might entail, and what prospect do you think that it might achieve? Well, anything, frankly.
Yeah, we're back into a very sort of difficult world of the Netanyahu government and Hamas trying to find terms to end this. A lot of what Hamas is asking for is trying to make up for the fact that the last time they thought they had a deal, it collapsed and the Israelis went back to war, as it were. And, right now, I think maybe some people don't get this because the news has been a bit samey from Gaza all these months. But they are now engaged in a really big military operation, the purpose of which is designed to give them control of 75% of Gaza and leave the population there in small pockets by the sea. So life is transforming pretty radically right now, excuse me, in Gaza. Now, clearly, I think at least in part, the Israelis are doing that in order to force Hamas back into concessions and obviously to try and get their hostages out.
Yep.
So the current proposal was tabled by the American envoy, Steve Witkoff, and his idea was, as far as we understand it, and, these negotiations are obviously not held in the open, his idea was that there would be an initial cessation in which half of the remaining living Israeli hostages would be released, and then they would try and negotiate other stuff. So it's slightly similar format to the cessation we had a few months ago, in which there was a sort of phased approach and it never really got past that initial phase. I think Hamas in this situation is very reluctant to let them all go. The Israelis, meanwhile, really want this to end on terms in which Hamas kind of surrenders and its senior leadership agreed to leave Gaza. So they want what can be seen as a capitulation of Hamas. Now, clearly the movement, the Islamic movement in Gaza is absolutely determined not to give them that victory. But that's what it boils down to at this moment, is this sort of awful trial of wills in which clearly the people of Gaza are being caught in this situation where, Hamas won't step aside. There are many Gazans who want them to. They consider themselves to be fighting an essential battle of resistance, and the Israelis want terms to end the war, which a lot of people would say are not realistic.
Mark, really interesting. We will bring you more developments on in the Middle East, including a major expansion of Israeli settlements in the West Bank later in the show. For now, Mark, thank you very much indeed. Mark Urban, presenter of the Crisis Room podcast, available through the LBC app and well worth checking out. Thank you very much indeed. Mark, 4:43 the time. Ben Kentish here with you on LBC. Back to your calls on knife crime. Kids as young as 9 saying it's kill or be killed, as LBC reveals the number of knives seized or taken away at schools up 60% in the last year alone. What's going on? Who's to blame? Let's talk to Derek in Walthamstow this afternoon. Hello, Derek.
Hi, Ben. How you doing, mate?
Yeah, I'm fine, thank you. So how about yourself?
I'm good. I'm good. Yeah, as I explained to your producer, I work in a people referral unit, and this sort of goes on. It's quite a regular thing. I'm not saying it's the major problem, but one of the contributing factors of it is kids involved in gangs. So where I work, I've been there for 12 years, and I've seen a lot of kids come and go, teenagers. A lot of them, no mums or dads in care homes, and they basically join gangs. And a huge part of it is the drug problem. So they're out selling drugs. And
right.
Part of being a gang selling drugs is you have to carry a knife.
But why are they selling gangs? Why are they selling? Is that for money, or is that because they want to be part of something, or is that for status, Derek, or is it all of the above?
It's already above.
Right.
So a lot of it, some of it is for money. So I'll give you a case that I was working with 5 years ago. Had a young man who was in a care home, wasn't being looked after properly. He was coming to school every day with his coat in ruins, sleeping on the night bus because he didn't want to go back to the care home. He got groomed in the care home, and he came in one day with a brand new Montclair jacket on, which is about, like, I don't know, it's quite
they're
expensive.
Not cheap. Several hundred quid, those jackets.
Yeah. Is it 700 quid?
Several hundred.
And I said to him, you know, where have you got that from? And he said to me, Derek, you know where I've got it from. He said, what am I to do? He said, I've got sort of nobody to look after me. He said, someone's come up to me. He said, I've got a brand new jacket on. I'm feeding myself. So that was partly to do with the money. Some of the care homes aren't run that well. A lot of them have been privatised, and there's a lot of grooming that goes on inside there. There's a lot of peer-to-peer grooming as well. And, I had another kid who told me he'd spent all night, this is years ago, he'd spent all night in a trap house, and he was selling cocaine.
But, Derek, where are the parents in all this? Well, because it's not just kids. I take the point when it's kids in care, and we know the care system's got its problems at now. Where are the parents when it's not children in care?
Half of the parents don't know what's going on. So
why?
I know you had a caller earlier who said, it was a tragic case of a boy, and she said he didn't know where he was. I'm not saying in her case this was what was going on, but a lot of them, they go out, they disappear. Either dad's off the scene, or, you know, mums and dads have got problems, and they're out all night, and then they come home early in the morning, and they've been out dealing drugs.
And the parents don't even know where they are. It's baffling to me. Maybe they're working long hours. They're too involved in their own issues. If your kid's all night dealing drugs and you don't know about it, something is going wrong. I'm not saying it's always the parents' fault, but something's gone fundamentally wrong, hasn't it? Derek, thank you for the call. Thank you for your insight as a someone who works in a pupil referral unit. That's Derek in Walthamstow. More to come on knife crime in just a couple of minutes' time. Ben Kentish in for Tom Swarbrick here on LBC. Coming up after 5.
April 2nd, 2025 will forever be remembered as the day that we began to make America wealthy again.
A court in the United States blocks Donald Trump from imposing sweeping global tariffs on imports, saying the president has overstepped his authority. The latest in a series of accusations about Donald Trump's respect or otherwise for the rule of law. Is it time to start calling Trump America's first ever dictator? Talk more about that in the next hour. Ben Kentish on LBC, 4:46.
LBC Travel, I'm Dave Chawner. Starting on the M25, moving clockwise, there's long delays at Junction 14 for the turn-off at Heathrow. That's because of an earlier broken-down car. While on the M25 going anti-clockwise, there's delays heading into the Dartford tunnels, adding roughly 35 minutes onto your journey. Nearby in Greenwich, on the Blackwall Tunnel approach, there's queues northbound at the Woolwich Road flyover. That's because of an earlier broken-down lorry. While in Surbiton, the A3 is blocked on the southbound side from the Hook Junction to Oxshott because of an accident, and that's causing queues. Finally, in East London, queues on the A13 eastbound between Prince Regent Lane and the Lodge Avenue flyover.
This is LBC. Here at Pets in a Pickle, our name has caused some confusion. We've had people asking us what pickles we recommend.
and a lovely lady looking for a pickle costume for her pet. But they've all been barking up the wrong tree. We actually offer simple, fuss-free pet insurance policies for cats and dogs, including unlimited access to video consultations with First Vet. So, for pet insurance policies as unique as they are, visit petsinapickle.co.uk. For actual pickles, try the supermarket.
Call Ben Kentish, 0345 6060 973. This is LBC.
Looking for a fun-filled day out this spring? The O2 has it all. Catch the latest blockbuster at Cineworld or challenge your friends with interactive football at Toker Social. Take on darts, mini golf and more at Boom Battle Bar. Get active with a game of paddle tennis, climb to new heights or take flight with an indoor skydive at iFly. Feeling hungry? Choose from over 30 bars and restaurants and discover flavours from around the world. Search Do More at the O2 to start planning your perfect day.
It's your home, darling. Let's make it fabulous. High scoring isn't my forte, but there's no arguing with Trustpilot ratings. Shotterly Fabulous have an expert team of fitters who specialise in one thing, simply gorgeous window shutters. Made to measure, hand-finished and expertly installed. Make your home Shotterly Fabulous. So don't give up, darling. Book a free consultation with our expert shutter fitters today.
Hey, Harry.
Hello, mate.
Any tips for the game?
If it's games you want, your best bet is to check out BetVictor's Casino Games. They've got more games than you've had hot dinners. In fact, they've got more games than Las Vegas Gaming Convention's annual convention of games.
Lots of games. Got it.
Yep, there's over 4,000 slot games, including all your favourites like Big Bass Bonanza, live casino tables like roulette and blackjack, and casino games like Crazy Time.
Listen to Harry and make your best bet on BetVictor Casino. 18+ gamblerware.org.
Next time you walk their dog or feed their cat, when you pop by for a cuppa or just stop for a chat, tell your friends about Pension Credit. They could be missing out on an average of over £4,000 per year to boost their pension income. Pension Credit also unlocks other support like help with heating costs, council tax, and a free TV licence for people over 75. Tell them to search for Pension Credit on gov.uk. Pension Credit. Credit where credit's due. Eligibility criteria apply.
If you bought a home on a holiday park in the UK, what you thought you were getting may not be what you ended up with. From unexpected site fee increases, running costs, a huge depreciation in value, many owners feel they've been missold. If you think this might be you, holidayparkadvicecentre.co.uk could help you receive the compensation you're entitled to. Text ASSIST to 78900 to find out more. That's ASSIST to 78900.
Ben Kentish on LBC.
4:51, back to your calls about knife crime. 60% increase. 60% increase in a year in the number of knives being discovered at school in 1 year. How many Home Secretaries, how many government, how many announcements have we had over the last, what, 5-10 years? We're getting tough on this, we're clamping down on that, we're banning adverts for this, we're toughening sentences, we're going to speak to the social media companies. And what happens? The number of knives being found at schools continues to go up. For all the talk, the problem is getting worse. What's to blame and how are we actually going to tackle it that doesn't just involve governments pumping out nonsense press releases that does absolutely nothing and achieves zero? Tom's a new caller this afternoon in Ladbroke Grove. Hello, Tom.
Hi.
Welcome.
Hi, Ben.
Good to have you on.
A lot of things have been said before that show the complexity. It's like looking for the end of a ball of string. I was a former community warden. I'd come out of teaching. I used to teach music. My father got all the kids in Scotland during the 80s when we had all these economic problems. My own family didn't have very much. My father was a coal miner from the age of 13 when his father died as a corporal in the army, and he got up through music and ended up in the old Come Dancing and Build a Pop Star today. It was a tough struggle to get up there and to support himself and the family. So none of this is new, but it's going around cycles. The problem, one of the solutions was to actually break the mould and start things again. I ended up going into a very unusual role as a community warden. The community wardens came before the community police, but they weren't focused on, repressive. It was to build relationships with the community, to give kids alternatives, to give them a focus, to actually, to find out who they are. And, of course, you know, many kids don't want to talk about who they are or who they don't think they are or whatever. And, of course, it's their, you know, their friends as well. They don't want to be isolated. They don't want to be targeted, et cetera. So it is a very common, a very difficult one. But there's no community centres for the kids. And the world is just nothing but fear. If you look on the television, one of the best and one of the worst things that came out of Scotland as an invention, and of course it's moved into the phone now, which is a portable device. And I think that the idea of maybe cutting the phones back in the schools, at least for a part of the day, and controlling them at the amount of time that the kids get that, and actually getting them into engaging in life. So making opportunities for kids should be the government's, so that they've got some sort of mentoring, people that they can identify with positively. And there are lots of great sportsmen and guys who are doing that.
It's about role models, Tom, partly.
Yeah, it's about role models. So if they don't have a father, and you don't, or your mother, if they're struggling, you're looking desperately, you don't know who the hell you are, you're changing, you're hormonally changing, you're out there, and you're just cast adrift in the wind, you're going to try and naturally go towards that. So what you have to do is have to get the government to invest in that again, that scheme, because it created a lot of solutions for elderly. I mean, I got my phone robbed a few months ago. There was no police there. There were, you know, guys on the street, and just sort of, I don't know, homeless or whatever. And I'm sure I recognise the guy again, but nothing, you know, could be done. It's
I don't know how much the... yes, there are obviously things like youth schemes, youth centres, youth leaders, community wardens, all of that the government can do. But it also seems to me that when it comes to role models, we've sort of had a cultural shift. It used to be the case that it... I mean, there's that old cliche that's trotted out all the time, so forgive me for using it again, but it takes a village to raise a child, and I firmly believe in that. And now we seem to say, well, the responsibility is only with the parents and maybe the teachers. What about the faith leaders, the youth leaders, the community leaders, the neighbours, the uncles, the aunts, the grandparents? All of the sort of other role models that kids used to have who might step in and intervene if the parents were struggling or the parents weren't there. We've sort of eroded the importance of those people. We now seem to think the job of raising a child isn't the job of the village, the metaphorical village. It's just the job of mum and dad, or mum or dad. And that's part of why kids are growing up with so few role models, and so many fewer, I think, than they used to have. Tom, thank you for pointing that out to us. Really interesting call, Tom. First call from Ladbroke Grove this afternoon. Thank you, Tom. Robert's in Streatham this evening.
This call will be recorded.
Well, I thought he was. Robert, are you there?
Hello, I'm right here. How are you doing?
I'm all right, sir. How are you?
Not too bad, thanks. I've just been listening to some of your callers, and a lot of them, you know, they've made some good points, but I feel like, you know, there's a bit of cliche kind of excuses being given, you know, like kids in, you know, that are looked after by the state, or kids in PRUs, or kids of single parent families. Those have been, and they are, factors to an extent, but they're not defining factors. Right now, violence is a trend. So kids are using social media, they're trending with violence. It's not about whether you come from a good background. You can have both parents at home, you could be in education, your parents could be both employed. And you may still find within your circle or your peer group that it either makes sense to carry a knife because it looks like you're awake and you're aware of what's going on, or that you genuinely feel you may be a victim, so you want to carry a knife. That's what's really happening at this stage. That's a difference from maybe the last 20 years, is that the trending aspect of things will pull people in, pull young people in that are not necessarily even... you know, predisposed to be violent or use violence as a way to resolve their issues.
And the medium of that is social media.
I firmly put much of the blame at social media.
So what do we do about it, Robert? Because, you know, the previous caller was saying, well, we can clamp down on the social media, but we've also got to look at what it is that is making those sorts of video and that sort of content alluring, attractive, appealing to young people in the first place.
Well, you know, let's look at the music industry, for example, the music scene. You know, you can go and do a video on your estate, shoot a video, upload it using inflammatory words that incite violence, maybe not between groups of people, but, you know, on a personal level, you might think, oh, that sounds really cool.
Yep.
And those things are going through unfiltered. No one, you know, they're not getting stopped. These things have got millions of views, hundreds of thousands of views. This is what kids are watching. Yep. They're learning the lyrics. They're learning, and what it does, it normalizes, it desensitizes.
Yep.
It makes, you know, it makes getting stabbed not an anomaly. It's more like, well, this is, you know, this is what happens in 2025.
So is there a glamour in it? A kids that are stabbed, is that a sort of sign? Is that a status symbol?
I don't think it's a status symbol. Right. I think maybe doing it shows that you're right. part of a particular cohort. You know, maybe amongst peers that don't want to do it. It's quite, you know, it's a graphic thing. Who wants to get stabbed? Most kids are petrified from getting stabbed. But because it happens and it's a new way to kind of show some bravado, maybe talking about it, like most of these kids that do these tracks, these drill tracks, they talk about stabbing, shanking, but nobody wants to really get stabbed. So these are the things that have become normalized. The kids have become desensitized. And, you know, kids, so many young people have died over the last 10, 15 years. That naturally, as a human being, you become used to these things. It's like what used to happen in America.
You get desensitized, you know, when, to it.
Yeah, yep. and you know, so in my opinion, YouTube needs to step up. They need to monitor what tracks they're allowed. If they have all these algorithms that can pick out words like that are inflammatory and will offend people, then yep. surely they can have that technology applied to the music videos that are uploaded. They need to have people that are watching these things, but obviously it costs money to do this, and if it doesn't benefit anyone, they're not going
to
do it.
That's why they've got to be held criminally accountable, Rob, I think. I don't know how easy it is to do this legally, but if someone stabs someone with a knife, having watched a video on whatever platform it is, the executives of that platform should be held partially responsible. I don't know how you do that. I'm not saying put them in prison for 10 years.
I agree with you, but there have to be consequences. Well, I agree with you. But again, the corporate leaders that are behind the companies that promote this music are going to be very difficult to hold to account.
Yes, but we've tried asking them, we've tried demanding, we've tried pleading, we've tried cajoling. They are not acting. They are not doing enough to stop this stuff. And you're right. It's being, as you say, Robert, you work in this area. It's being seen by millions of people. It's time to start holding these platforms seriously accountable for the harm and the death in too many cases that is arising because of what they are profiting from. Robert, we're out of time for that conversation. Really great call to wrap us up. Thank you very, very much indeed. Robert, who works with young people in Streatham, South London. Ben Kentish here on LBC. 5 o'clock the time. Here are the headlines.
Can you trust him with your future? Can you trust him with your jobs?
So Keir Starmer attacks Nigel Farage's spending plans, calling them a mad experiment.
The youngest one for me was 9. He said to me that he'd carry a knife to protect himself.
LBC reveals that 12 pupils are discovered with knives every single day at schools in the UK.
The 53-year-old man they arrested at the scene is still in police custody.
Police confirm that a 9-year-old was the youngest person injured when a car was driven into...